Margot seems to be having a nervous breakdown when she heard another fund drive still in the works. Caller number six.
May I respond to that, fella?
Sure, go ahead.
That is really not fair. I'm sorry. This is not fair to have people going back and forth three and four times.
I think James should bank the questions and then please go to the Slack, Bella. That's what I would suggest.
Number six will be right after James. If you can make it brief, James.
Kim to the Slack, please.
Okay.
Kim afterwards.
Thank you.
This is not reasonable, and it is not fair. This man.
I don't believe this latest speaker has been recognized by the chair.
Chair. Chair, let me make a point of order. I believe that you should go to the stack. James should bank the questions, write the questions down, and then after you exhaust the stack, give him the floor. I think that'll be the only fair way. So I would suggest that you go to caller six.
Yes, I was doing that earlier. I asked him to do that. He started doing that, and somehow we broke up. So go ahead, caller number six.
Okay, thanks. It's like, let's be reasonable here. I want to point out that KPFK is in deep trouble for all sorts of reasons. I'm not sure we get that much more transparency at WBAI. And both finance committee chairs are very abusive, particularly to women on those calls. Maybe it's the same in Pacifica. I don't know. But WBI is operating at minus $26,000 every month. The rationality here is, well, that's the amount that the CPB grant would be. Well, fine, but we haven't had CPB money in 7 years. That is no longer an acceptable excuse. And his strongest protectors are the National Finance Committee chair, who was just speaking and speaking and speaking, and the PNB chair, who's also from WBAI. Something else that we might want to reexamine. But Netta came aboard. They signed a contract in 2018. For the first 3 months, their computers weren't even communicating with the national office computers. I don't think they canceled the bill for those 3 months. So what they are, quote, providing for free is something any CFO would have done. As a matter of doing business, you're doing business with 6 or 8 units, depending on who you talk to. Obviously, the same standard should be used. It shouldn't take a special plea or whatever it is, they're classifying it. And the contract amount is not the contract amount that it began with, I'm sure. Every time something is added, a charge is added. Every time a station function to some degree is added, money comes out. The CFO is a Netta employee. So, and she comes to meetings, very nice woman, very unprepared. Many, many times members ask questions. I don't think there's ever been a meeting at which she's been able to answer all the questions. The reports come to them very late, and she apparently does not have a chance to review them. They're prepared by office staff for the people doing the real work, and those should be the people on the call because maybe they can answer the questions. It's always, I'll get back to you. Okay. The other thing that concerns me is that we've had Rogers as our auditor. And it's true, they were hired on a big push from Eileen Rogin, who's the chair of the audit committee. They're in Maryland. She's from the D.C. station. We just paid them. The audit committee should have a confidential report, a management letter is what it's called, highlighting the flaws. The audit committee has not met since, July? What's up with that? Nobody could find the financial policies and procedures manual. For years, I've been hearing that BS story. I sent it to them. The audit committee has still not called a meeting. What's up with that? You know, so people can get on and do their PR spin, but you got to look beyond that to what the numbers are telling you, what the reports are telling you. Things are not always what people say they are. Thank you.
Thank you very much, WBAI. Now we're going to go to Kim. Go ahead, Kim. Unmute.
First of all, I want to say a CFO does not get in the weeds of each individual station. That's why when she is asked specific questions, she doesn't know them. She's not supposed to know them. And she does get back to the people who ask the questions on that. As I recall, the audit committee already got the management letter, and they went into closed session to review it. The audit committee should...
Kim, that is not true. Kim, that is not true. As an audit committee member, I have not received the management letter.
Okay, well, I recall going into closed session to review the management letter way back when. That's my recollection, so I'm not, you know... I don't know.
That's when I was on the audit. That is when I was on the audit committee.
No, it was not. It was last June or July.
I was on the audit committee then.
I don't recall that.
That was for the prior fiscal year.
Bella, don't interrupt me. The audit committee should familiarize themselves with the California laws for audit committees. Okay? Straight up. There were so many violations of California law between the April and the June audits. It was stunning. Lydia literally got on the audit committee and said, oh, there's no legal requirement for the audit committee to review the audit before it goes to the AG. Straight up, that's a stone cold lie. Or misinformation or non-information, because straight up, the audit committee by law has to review an audit with the auditor before it gets filed. Bella, if you were there, you didn't speak up. I don't recall your being there, but if so, you did not speak up. Don't interrupt me, please. And second of all, it is the audit committee that chooses and authorizes the auditor, not Lydia, not the PNB. And that's what happened for the last two audits, or the last audit, the April audit, and sort of the June. It's just sort of, accepted that Rogers is going to do it, but it didn't come from the audit committee. It came from whatever. Janine is saying, yeah, I agree, Kim. You were on the audit committee, Janine. You never read those rules. You sat there. You argued you wanted this and that and that and this, but not according to the laws of California.
We should be reviewing it before, if you're going to say that, Kim, you should refer to the recording where I said that we should be reviewing the documents before they're submitted.
No, you said you wanted to. But you did not dispute Lydia saying there is no legal requirement. That's the issue. There is a legal requirement, not just that you and Eric wanted to do it. Furthermore, the one main rule of CVD and the reason why Pacifica lost, in addition to non-filing, even before non-filing of timely audits, was Pacifica lost its CPB funding for lack of open meetings, okay? Particularly WBAI and one or two other stations. But that straight up is why Pacifica lost its funding before the whole audit issue. So that needs to be addressed, and that's a big problem right now. For a lot of meetings, if you look on KPFTX, see which ones have no streaming, have no call-in numbers, and have no archives, there are a lot of them. I mean, if you can't do the little things, you can't do the big things. It's enough for now. Thank you.
Okay.
Bella, let me just say something to
you
real quick.
No, hold on one moment.
I did. Lawrence, let me.
I need to correct
this
something.
This is going to take 15 seconds.
Okay.
I did receive the management letter, Kim, the management letters. Thank you so much.
Okay, there you go.
But I don't think we ever had a meeting to discuss it because we went into closed session to review the audit.
You went over the audit in public and you went into closed to do the management letter. No, that's wrong, Lawrence. Cause I listened to the auditor going over the audit with y'all. And then you went into, for the management, letter. And there was no report out, but there you go. That's just another CBB violation.
Thank you. Okay.
Thank you. Now I need to address Kim. I was on the audit committee a year ago when you said June. So I was not there in June. And then I argue with the auditors regarding the management letter and a lot of retractions. And it,
this is completely irrelevant to what I said, Bella. Just let other people talk. Just stop, Bella, and let other people speak. This is a town hall. This isn't a forum for Bella DeSoto. Thank you.
You are so obnoxious, very obnoxious. Thank you.
Point of order.
So, Lawrence,
point of order.
Caller number six, I see your hand up. Go ahead.
Okay, so I'll be brief. I know this isn't a board meeting per se, but if you want to name individuals get to correct the record.
Right.
Period. Thank you.
Thank you, caller number six. Lawrence, your hand is still up?
Yeah, my hand was up to just...
Okay, James, do you want to...
said earlier.
Okay, if you can lower your hand, I cannot seem to be able to lower it. Okay. James, are you still there? Michael, go ahead. Michael, hold on.
I'm still here. Hold on. I'm on the stack. I don't know where you have me, but I'll wait.
Hang on. Yeah. Hang on one moment. Michael.
Well, I want to try to clarify something that was in the chat from Hara Handala. He said that, he cited something from a report out from the audit committee. And, his impression from that is that the audit was, heard, not in a public session. But Kim just said that she heard the auditor discussing the audit with the audit committee. So I'd just like to try to clarify, if the audit, I honestly did not listen to that and I'm not about to go to the audio at the moment because I'm trying to follow this discussion. Could somebody clarify, for sure if the last audit that was received, was discussed in public by the audit committee at some point?
Can I answer that, Bella?
Yes, please do.
So I think that's my recollection. Now I am a senior these days, folks. So, make allowances for me. But from what I remember, the audit was held first, in closed session and then it was brought out to open session. That's why, the management letters were supplied after that. And from what I recall, we have not had a meeting in regards to the management letters. So, that's all. So I think you're correct, Michael.
I'm not saying one way or the other. I'm just saying there's a conflict between the report.
This is Janine. I'm on the audit committee.
I know we had an open audit session in regards to the audit.
Let Janine now address this. Thank you. Go ahead, Janine.
Yeah, we had two canceled meetings after the audit was submitted. So as far as I know, we did not have a committee meeting to review the audit. I'm not finding it right now. I'm looking it up, but I just went back and forth with Eric C. Jacobson, who's also on the audit committee, to review, and we had two, at the end of, in July, we had two canceled meetings.
Okay, I think James needs to speak now. Go ahead, James. Thank you, Janine. And Lawrence.
Thank you, Bella. Just gonna try and work from some rough notes that I have here.
Okay.
First I wanna say that, the audits are public and can be reviewed. The audit letter is confidential, and that's reviewed in executive session. So there won't be a public review of the audit letter. And the PMB did
management letter.
Look at.
The management letter, you mean, yes?
I'm so sorry. Yes, I'm trying to say the management letter. Thank you, Bella. Okay, now to go back, it was said earlier that the auditors hadn't been paid. And it is true that they had not been paid. But with the recent money that we got from the EIDL loan, the economic injury disaster loan, that we just recently got an extra chunk of, the auditors were paid. So we are now in a position for the next audit to start. And as far as the way that the P&Ls are released, I want to describe the process as it was when I became the chair of the National Finance Committee. It was that the former chair of the National Finance Committee would get those P&Ls sent to him personally, and he would keep them until usually minutes or hours at the best, immediately before the beginning of the committee meeting. So the rest of us would come in, never having seen them. We would review it, being led by the chair who had reviewed them with the assistance of the CFO, and review. We found that unacceptable as a committee, so we revised the process so that now the P&Ls, when they're released to the Finance Committee, they go to the chair, they go to all the members of the Finance Committee, they go to the officers of the PNB, and they go to the general managers of the stations. And the reasoning behind sending it to the general manager of the stations, among other things, is that there's a lot of inter-divisional, inter-office, whatever you want to call it, borrowing back and forth between the different units of Pacifica to meet shortfalls, payroll shortfalls, whatever the case may be. So it was felt that it was the best thing to do to allow the general managers to see what was going on at the different stations so they could understand and plan a little better, possibly anticipate when they could get paid back, when they made loans and that sort of thing. And the reason for not...
James, hold on, please. Janine?
I have an email that I can read from the chair of the audit when you have a chance.
Okay, hold on, James. Go ahead, Janine.
So this email is from October 4th from Eileen Rosen, the chair of the audit committee, and it says, and it's back and forth from, it says, the PNB received the management letter during the second half of August, a little after the audit was submitted, but it'll be worth having a look to see what needs follow-up and where any of that might be. So this is acknowledging that we didn't have a meeting to look at the management letter.
Correct. And if I may add, James, before you go there, this is to me, I'm sorry, but this is no conspiracy, but when I was on the audit committee, I was very dissatisfied the way things were being run and not getting much response from the auditor or NETA. And I knew that they wanted me out of there real good, so I was prevented from getting back on the audit committee. But Janine, I'm glad that you read that letter because I feel that this is yet, well, Kim just mentioned this as a violation, which it is. I mean, this management letter, when I was on the audit committee, had it been published, would have been very, very significantly damaging and incorrect in many respects. And so we had a lot of editing to do, and it was done. And I submitted a battery of comments, and a couple of other people did too, but I was the most vociferous one. And I felt that they even were trying to get us to acquiesce to something or another when we were going through the referendum, and that did not jive with me. Okay, go ahead.
Can you do the stack, please, after whoever? Thank you.
Okay. Okay, Kim. Go ahead, James.
Bella, yeah, I just want to finish up at least this one point that I was on.
Yes.
about the process for releasing the P&L. So as you just pointed out in the management letter, sometimes there can be mistakes and errors. And that's the reason we are now distributing the P&Ls to the parties that I mentioned, the managers, the finance committee, the officers of the PNB, so that they can be reviewed and checked for errors. In the past, we've had significant errors in the P&Ls, and then when they were released to the public, it caused a lot of noise and upset. So we're reviewing them first and then releasing them. So that's the process we're in. And again, I'll just stress that any TA gets the information that they create their P&Ls from the stations. And when the stations haven't submitted all the information, they can't release them yet. They're not ready for release. So that's, I'll stop there on that subject.
Okay, we got to move on.
Catch up on some of the rest later. Go ahead.
Thank you, James, for that. I see. Go ahead, Kim. There's someone else after you.
I want to say that without casting too many aspersions, Fred Blair is often the reason why you get them late. He just forgets.
Yeah.
Straight up.
Yeah. Right.
And also, I do want to say that at one of the last audit committee meetings, Lawrence Reyes did ask Eileen to either then or in a future meeting, discuss the auditor for the next audit. And Eileen blew him off. And I don't think Lawrence was sure enough of the laws in order to insist that had to be done. But that happened, and that's where that's at. I'm not going to go searching through my stuff, but I can provide dates that may not agree with what's going on here right now. But I'm not going to look for that stuff now. But anyways, that was then. Anybody who gets on the audit committee, please apprise yourself of the laws of California. And they're actually simple bullet points. You don't even have to read the actual legislation to know just the basics. Thank you.
Bella, can I just have the
floor? Yes, go ahead. Thank you, Kim. Go ahead, Lawrence.
For briefly, I do remember I could have been a little bit more forceful. I do remember being somewhat shut down by the audit committee chair in a rush. I do understand, I can't remember the name of the senators, the act that institutionalized the hiring process. And I do understand California Corporation Code that we are to engage an auditor. And
this isn't California Corporations Code.
No, it's federal law. You're right.
No,
thank you.
It's state law. It's state California law. I have sent the link multiple times to the audit committee multiple years, and no one's read it. Just Google it. It'll come up.
I'll find it. But I do understand that we are responsible to engage the NETS auditor just right as soon as the audit has been completed. So, and that didn't happen. I put up somewhat of a fight, but I didn't, I could have been a little bit more forceful. Thank you.
Okay.
Yeah, Lawrence, you were better than anyone else. So I'm giving you credit for that. Don't worry about it.
Great. Thank you, Kim. Go ahead, Michael. Thank you, Lawrence, for that. Go ahead, Michael.
Yeah, I wanted to respond a little bit to James. I think that allowing the local finance committees to see the documents earlier would be beneficial to finding the errors he's talking about. I think that both errors and problems have been identified by local finance committees it's worthy to get that done as soon as possible. And I also want to remind people that the local station board is mandated to do a quarterly review of the station's actuals compared to the budget to submit to the PNB. And our capacity to do that is severely restricted if we don't get current financials, sometimes as much as 2 or 3 months behind real time. So it's a problem that has to be solved.
Bella, I have to go, Bella. I have to eat. As you know, I have to eat.
Yes. Okay, you have. Thank you, Lawrence Reyes, for joining us. Thank you. But before you go, let me say this to James and everybody. For the last, I started in 2010, creating a file for Pacifica, KPFK, Pacifica, all the units. Then I abandoned that because that was a mammoth job for me with the little time that I had, not being paid and all that. But as a professional bookkeeper, I began documenting everything on QuickBooks. And I am just received the August P&L, consolidated P&L. Thank you, Michael. And I will be entering that, and then everything will be up to date. It is through QuickBooks that I am able to pull at will, in real time, reports, because it is very difficult otherwise. But still, no detail. We get no backup, no detail. And that is why we need the general ledger or the trial balance. And Great Plains has to be able to give us that. And I doubt that NETA is going to take the time to give us a bank reconciliation at the end of each month, a trial balance or general ledger, a accounts payable agent report as well, and I've been insisting on this for years, an accounts receivable agent report. And the reason for, can somebody mute, please? And the reason for the accounts receivable agent report that we need to start generating again is because it tells us how many people are on a monthly sustaining process so that we can budget with those funds so we know when in the month they're coming in. That is accounts receivable. That is money promised. It's an accounts receivable promise but not yet realized. That's what an accounts receivable is. It is owed to the station based on a goodwill contract. So we need all these documents, and we're trying to be intelligent, but we cannot be without the documentation, and we need to be respected. This is called respect. If we are to be in oversight at the Finance Committee, we must be respected. We must be given the necessary documentation that everybody else gets in the real world. Thank you. Go ahead, James.
Bella, may I respond? I just wanted to respond to Michael real quickly. To say, Michael, that, again, the way the process works is, as you know, the information goes from Pacifica to the accountants. When the accountants get it all, they then return it to the NFC. As soon as we get it, we schedule it for the very next meeting. I always schedule the review of the P&Ls for the very next meeting after we get them. And then we release them after we've reviewed them. So it's the bottleneck is not at the NFC. The bottleneck is at Pacifica in providing the information. And I'll just give you an example. Just recently, there was an office that was had to be cleaned out and was reorganized by NETA, and they found lots of stuff there that had not been properly added to the
great
payables and mm-hmm. to, yes, in other ways. And that is the kind of thing that NETA can help us with. They're doing what our in-house accounting used to do at a much greater cost, and we're getting a product we can use. And that's why we now have audits, and we're getting, we're going to have a unified budget template and a unified,
chart of accounts.
Thank you. Thank you, Bella.
Yes, but and,
let me just finish. These are things that we did have in the past. These are things that we should have, but in Pacifica, we get some criticism from some corners. about, you know, why are we concentrating on these petty things? Any CFO worth their salt can just do these things, not in Pacifica, not under the current structure and the current, not, I don't say structure, but not in the current situation. They don't get what they need. We have to pass resolutions on the PNB to get NEDA access to our bank accounts so that they can look and see what our balances are. That's where we were. So gradually, step by step, we're changing that, and it's against some resistance from Pacifica. That's all I'll say.
Okay, I wanted to address that. I am, first of all, I am not too thrilled with the way that the chart of accounts that NEDA has been using on the P&L. They lump everything, okay? And I do not like that at all. But you said otherwise earlier on, and I wanted to get back to that. I'll leave that there. So you, it's food.
Well, no, let me just say the way that it's been being done is that there are no formulas. The chart of accounts is basically different at every station. And so by unifying it and also now including formulas in the new, chart of accounts, and the new budget templates, we're going to improve all of that.
Okay. Then I wanted to address the issue of the fact that this station, which I know which one it is, we all know.
Right. Let's not discuss that openly here.
Right. And of course, I'm not surprised that so many, documents were left, let's say on the table, because I suspected that all around. That is why every time I would ask for an accounts payable aging report, I couldn't get one, or I couldn't get an accurate one. So I suspected all of that. But why has it taken all this time? See, this is what is really getting to me, that we have lost years. And when Janine said in the last 2 years, no, Janine just came on to this in the last year and a half. This has been going for years, as I have been on the finance committee. Just wanted to get that on the audio.
May I add something to that, please?
Yes, go ahead.
It's not just the years of time that we've lost. Over time, it's millions of dollars.
That is correct.
Not just CPB grants, but in grants from other people who
right.
won't give us any money if we don't have our financials. And
uh-huh.
Even from donors, from major donors, even small donors, many small donors go to something like Charity Navigator to look us up, and they make their decisions based on that. So it's cost us millions of dollars.
Right. Okay. So I see. Thank you, James. I see caller number 5.
Well, that might be me. I don't know. William Hare Wagon here.
Hey, William. How are you? Greetings. Thank you for joining us. That was James Sagerton that just finished speaking. Go ahead, William. Thank you for joining
Thank
us.
You.
From WBAI?
Yes, from New York.
Go ahead.
We need, Pacifica needs to have a CFO in place who knows what is expected of financial staff, and we don't need motions every time something has to be done between the CFO and the people at the stations. She can just tell them what to do. They're wasting time all the time on some little thing like, say, oh, please fax me the such and such or something. You know, the CFO just says, do that. A real CFO. Thank you.
That is correct. Thank you for that clarification, because me listening to the PNB Finance Committee, I am in complete awe. And this goes to you, James, that so many motions need to be passed. First of all, when the contract was given to NEDA, when the contract was given to NEDA, if the person that was contracting this organization knew anything about accounting, then this person would have laid down the rule, the protocol, the expectation, but none of that was done. Why? Because we have been working with people that have no knowledge of accounting acumen. That is why. Okay, go ahead, Kim.
The CFO does not have and has not had for many years direct authority over the business managers, the ED does. If you want the block here from getting business managers to perform as they're supposed to is the IED. That's your problem. That's it. Thank you.
I wanted to add this, which is maybe related on a social, political, global position. But a book, you know, that I have had for a long time, and I've been reviewing it recently because it's so astonishing. What it means to be 98% chimpanzee, apes, people, and other genes. We are so full of ourselves, but we should study our roots. okay, look, we have gone on for very long. William, do you want to speak again?
No, thank you.
Thank you, William. William, too bad you came in at the very last end, because we have had a great town hall. James joined us late as well, but you came in right before we have to adjourn. I mean, we've been at this since 1 o'clock. Margo, do you have any parting words?
I'm trying to send a message and it doesn't seem to go. It says this information of requirements, et cetera, about finances should be presented to and required to be followed by anyone involved in any and all financial transactions involving the money we, the listeners, sponsors, members, provide. We don't want transparency. We want every single transaction to be revealed to everyone. Okay, so if somebody's got to get it together, that anybody working with the money has to know the rules and follow the rules and reveal everything to us regularly. That's the best way to keep things going because it's our money.
That is correct.
I don't know if I can send this out, but I want to make that a very clear point. I have someone who said that unless there was a clear auditing, she wasn't going to be donating too much anymore. I mean, it's not just auditing, it's revelation. Revelation. If there's nothing to hide, you don't care who sees anything. Okay, I'm talking about one more little detail. Oh, you can't reveal that because it's confidential. Well, we don't have to know exactly how much money that each individual employee makes, but you put a lump, you say employee salaries is X amount every month, and then you can deduct that. So this is what we need us competent people involved in this who know about budgeting and auditing and financial transactions, which not everybody does, but this whole thing about the root is just very, very discouraging to think that there's no real knowledge about this or communication about it. Okay.
Thank you, Margo. James, I wanted to ask you, we are going to be closing soon, and I wanted to read a chat from Hara Andala before we go. He says, my public comment, again, I lack augmentative communication, so I have to use the chat box. The fund drive ended Friday, November 5th, in a root. Oh, no, I read that already. That was old. Sorry. Okay. James, I wanted to ask you, before I lose my trend of thought, your position is one that you have to be dealing with all the units. But I still insist that we need a person to come into KPFK twice a week and start inputting the daily work into Great Plains, regardless whether it is being sent, faxed, scanned to NETA. Because something ain't jiving here, and something will continue not to jive, because we locally need to have control of our local transactions. And we need to start getting backup. We need to substantiate. We need our general ledger, our accounts payable aging report. We need a bank reconciliation at the end of each month. And that bank reconciliation needs to tie to what? The general ledger. Oh, okay. We need to get a balance sheet. We need to see what the balance sheet says. The balance sheet will show us what is at the bank at the end of the month. What is owed to us and what we owe. Our accounts payable and accounts receivable. And then over that, what expenses are being accrued, can be accrued, that we have incurred, not paid yet. So all that good stuff. So we need to operate like a regular corporation. We need these documents. And when we start getting these documents, we will be productive.
Bella?
Yes, I agree.
I will simply say to that those are the things that happen between your management and the accountants. And for you to set up a separate system where you're doing that again or separately is one thing if you want to do it, but I don't think right now we're in a position to pay for that. That is what is being done between management and the accountants. And what this committee does, or not this committee, but, you know, the finance committee and governance in general does, is oversight. They don't need to create their own general ledger and have their own, you know, they need to have reports on these things, but they don't need to recreate the work that the accountants are doing.
Okay, I think you missed everything I just said, James, but thank you for that. Hold on. Go ahead, Kim.
Well, I disagree with what Bella said and, you know, this contention we need local people. You had somebody local there. Lydia hired that guy, and you complained about that. And it is my opinion that we need to give what we have going on now a chance. There's a lot of cleanup to do, and I personally, as Jim said, you do oversight. You have not reviewed the information that has even come to you at the local finance committee because some people spend too much time arguing and not one document gets reviewed except for the time when I was chair. There have been no review of documents. Not the fault of, you know, the business manager or NEDA, but the fault of this committee and the people who just want to spend their time arguing. Try and make use of what you do have and spend time looking at that. That's all I'm going to say for right now. But
thank you, Kim. Go ahead, Janine. You need to unmute.
Yeah, I was just going to follow up on what Kim's saying. It does... Every time we go in to discuss these documents, even now, I'm just seeing August because Michael forwarded it to me and I didn't, whatever. We didn't even talk about it Wednesday. Wednesday was not about talking about the specific financials. Everybody was talking about their ideas to recover, unfortunately. But, you know, I'm looking at a loan for $342,000 that came in August, supposedly.
In the year.
No, this past year.
Right. Okay.
I don't know what that is.
That is not a loan, that's the PPP funding.
And it came in August?
When it was cleared as a grant, not a loan.
Yeah, correct.
And you've been told that, Janine.
Right. But the thing is, then it's in the wrong place on the spreadsheet.
Whatever.
Kim, hold on, please. If you had listened 2 months ago to the PNB Finance Committee, you would have understood that that NETA and the auditors, or rather the auditor, decided unilaterally to remove it from the year that it was incurred to August of this year.
Because it was forgiven.
Yes, it was forgiven, but there was no identity. There was no identification of that. It was just dumped in there.
Right. So this is what I'm talking about. You know, unless we have detail, that should be a journal entry in a general ledger saying why that money is coming back.
All you have to do is just ask.
Kim, listen, you're not, this is me. It's my turn. Okay. Instead of the hostile, approach that you have, I'm trying to make a point that in looking at this, you do not see the detail behind the numbers. There's income. there's operating costs. There's quote unquote board expenses, which are anywhere from $30,000 to $50,000. Do we have the detail on that? No, we don't have the detail because we don't have a general ledger. A general ledger would show every month what is being costed to that particular item, but we don't get that. We just get an overall view just saying that it's that amount. That's unacceptable.
Thank you, Janine. Caller number six.
Okay, I think that's me. A couple of things. One is I would expect that the CFO would be able to review the numbers before she gets on a call.
Correct.
I don't care if you have different people who are working on the accounts during the day.
Correct.
When you get a report prepared by, quote, staff, you know, it's like lawyers blame their clerks, and CFOs apparently blame the staff. When you get that report, please study it. Make sure the numbers make sense. There have been times when people have not asked, oh, what was that bill that was paid on, you know, July 31st in the amount of $1,600.72? They ask broader questions, things that don't make sense. So there's no need to make excuses for anyone here. I know what I hear. That's one. Two, a very strange thing happened with the PPP money. The NFC, the National Finance Committee, cooked up this deal where they decided retroactively that all the money, first of all, in order to qualify for the PPP, there was a certain percentage. I think it might have been 60%. I don't remember the rules now.
Yes, yeah, 60.
That had to
yes.
go towards staff salary, right, staff salaries, et cetera, for it to even qualify to be discharged later on. Which has happened, and yay, great, thank you, Lydia and others. But after the money came into National and, you know, salaries were paid for this unit, that unit, et cetera, and National has to cover payroll very often for WBAI. Sometimes it's only for a few days, but it's still somebody's coming up with that money. And for KPFK, obviously now, you know, capping whatever is in National when there's money in National. National is starved by stations not paying their central services, so it's kind of circular there. And KPFA has lent out serious money. The affiliate program has lent out, you know, serious money considering what they do have as income. And, you know, they paid out the payroll for, I forget, I think it was maybe four pay periods, might have been six. I don't know. That seems a long time ago to me now. But at any rate, after that money was divided up and the rest of the money stayed with the National office, the NFC decided retroactively that they were going to treat that money, the excess money, quote, excess money, leftover money, as though they were central service payments by the five stations. Now, there are seven or eight, depending on who you talk to, units in Pacifica. Why is the assumption that if we get a loan that becomes a grant, why is there an assumption that only the stations qualify for that money? You know, the archives, the affiliates, the National office, you know, why aren't they also considered for portions of that money? So initially, the salaries, and that's everybody's salaries, were covered by PPP money. And then the remainder of the PPP money that wasn't used, the 40% roughly, the very rough, was then converted into credits for the five stations. That's a problem, right? It's a problem if for no other reason than when the money came in, it was treated as though it was going to all the units. But suddenly they decided, oh, no, we want our balances, are the monies that we owe to the National office to look better. And you'll remember the California stations, which have always had largest staff, excuse me, and KPFA, which at that point had the largest staff and still has the largest staff by multiples, over the other stations. They, in fact, already got most of the PPP money simply because there were more people to pay there. So they got larger chunks of the PPP money.
Oh, a caller number 6. I am so sorry. Ask to unmute. Someone is having a call coming in. Caller number 6. I'm sorry. I muted you.
I don't know where that started, but I was saying that the California stations got the largest chunks of the PPP money to begin with simply because they have the largest staff. And then the excess or the balance, if you will, was then devoted to only the 5 stations, meaning that the California stations again would have gotten even larger chunks. So, you know, I know we're all one big happy family, but when you look at the math, you know, there are assumptions that are made. The affiliates don't have anyone who vote on the PNB. The archives don't have anyone who votes on the PNB. The national office doesn't have anyone who votes on the PNB. But the 5 people or 5 units with voting power on the PNB decided that that extra 40% or remaining 40% belonged only to the stations, not to the other units. Nobody seemed willing to understand that kind of thinking was problematic. Just saying.
Thank you. Thank you, caller number 6. Thank you very much. Okay, we have caller number 5, and then I see you, Janine. You need to unmute caller number 5.
*6 to unmute whoever that is.
Caller number 5.
That might be William.
Is that
but
you,
I
William?
Didn't need to speak.
William?
That might be William.
Could you lower your hand if you do not want to speak?
*9.
Yeah, *9 if you're, on the phone. Thank you. Okay. Okay. At this stage, Michael, you have any parting words? Michael Novick, where are you?
I think this probably has gone on too long, so.
We're going to close it down.
All right. Thanks.
And thank you for participating, everybody. Janine, you have any parting words? Thank you for co-hosting. Janine?
No, I just appreciate everybody being here.
Thank you very much. Thank you to everybody, Margot, everybody, Paul. Oh, Ralph Hawkins, you never spoke. Do you have anything to say before we close down?
No, it was a great, great learning session for me. I'm just trying to absorb all this information.
Great, great. Great having you. Thank you for joining. This has been the KPFK LSB Outreach Committee that invited you to the second town hall of 2021. We had a number of participants. We had a great, lively discussion over the issues about Pacifica and the network and KPFK and many other areas. So this recording will be made available and also to the GM as soon as edited. Hopefully I won't have to edit too much dead space and noise, etc. Thank you all for participating. We had a great event. James, thank you to you as well. Sagerton.
Thank you.
Thank you, everybody.
Janine, everybody. Okay. Thank you for folks. We are ending the recording now.
Thanks, Bella. Good night.
Thank you, everybody. Good night.
Not at all.
Okay. Thank you, everybody. Sasha, everybody.